Acts chapter number 20 is where we're going to start off tonight. Acts chapter number 20. It is going to be another topical message in dealing with a little bit, as I know we finished up our Thanksgiving last Tuesday night, but it's kind of transcending into our Christmas time. And we're going to talk a little bit about things that steal away your joy, or things that rob you from your joy. And tonight, it's important. I don't know about you, but Luke chapter 2 probably has some of the most famous verses when it comes to the Christmas story. And it says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for I behold you, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He said, good tidings of great joy. And oftentimes we sing Joy to the World as sometimes people's favorite Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. But at the same time, Christmas time is some of the most miserable times of life for certain people. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so tonight I'd like to look at this for a little while, this thought, things that will rob your joy this Christmas. I thought about, you know, I really wanted to preach this on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. The Lord gets kind of led it on my heart because there's a lot in here. We're probably going to have to take 2 weeks for it because there's just so many different things that people just let them just take away their joy. And so I want to encourage you that at Christmas time is supposed to be the what people characterize the most wonderful time of year, and people get super excited and super happy and all those things. But then you also go out and you see people in the world and they look miserable. Sometimes when you're dealing with families and that they don't get along, it's just miserable to be there. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, it's not supposed to be that way. As a Christian, we are supposed to be characterized by joy. Even it says one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy. So if there's one thing that we should model as a Christian, it is the joy of the Lord. And God designed the Christian life to be an abundant life. So often we let the devil, you know, remember, the thief came to what? To rob, to steal. But he's talked about how he came to do what? To give us life and give us life more abundant. And that is an abundant life that God has and desires for us. And at this time of year, when we sing Joy to the World, we just don't see much joy in people's hearts. And oftentimes we don't see much joy in believers' hearts. And there's some reasons for that. And I don't know, do you have joy in your life today? You have joy that's in your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God can produce that. And now that's not just for this time of year, but also what is joy? It's talking about a great pleasure. It's a feeling of great pleasure. It's a happiness that is kind of brought through in your life. Where do we find our joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We find our joy in a proper relationship with God. If we have God in the right place, the joy will be there. And once again, even Paul can have joy while sitting in the prison cell singing and praising the Lord. And he even talks about how in the book of Philippians, he's there and he's sitting in jail. What does he tell us? To rejoice. He tells us to rejoice always. And so tonight, as we transition into what went from Thanksgiving to a Christmas season where that's on people's hearts, take a look around. Look at people. And once again, not stare at people, but be a people watcher and see if there really you see joy in people's hearts and lives. Because the Bible talks about if we're filled with the Spirit of God, it will come out naturally. Now, although joy should be a normal Christian life, many times people go days, weeks, and months in this joyless mode, or joyless mood, I guess, too. It's a mode. They're diligently going through the motions. They go through motions and go through motions, but there's emptiness inside. There's no joy that's springing up. That should show. Here, you say, well, what do you see that in Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20 has what I would call, some people call it life verse, some people call it a theme verse. But for me, at this point in my life, Acts chapter 20, verse 24 is what I would call a life verse for me, something that I've always enjoyed. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. Number one, because you see in verse number 24, the Bible says, but none of these things move me. I want to be faithful. I do. I'm not just dependent. I want to be full of faith. And the Apostle Paul in these verses leading up to it says, look, you know me. You've watched me go through all these things. And he says, I did not let any of those things move me. None of these things move me. But then he continues on. He has the proper perspective when he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, this life is not mine. It's not something I'm going to hold on to. This is God's life. And don't count my life. I have the proper perspective of who I am and what my life is. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. This next phrase, I think, is something that many of us struggle with. So that I might finish my course with joy. Finishing what God has desired for us, what God longs for us to do, what God wants for us to do. But not only just finishing it, it's also finishing it with joy. And I think that's something that many, many people struggle with today. I'm going to serve the Lord and I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to just plow my way through. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying here. That's not what our desire. We should enjoy the journey. It should be something that if there's issues, there's problems, we should deal with it. We should get our hearts right. And we should want to desire. We want to give a heart's desire to love the Lord. And that joy should come out. But so often we see that people look miserable at Christmas. It's because they're not able to get the things they want or everything seems busy and every this and that. Don't let things rob or steal your joy. And see, the things that rob us of our joy can many times be subtle. We sometimes don't connect the dots and think, oh, well, that's not killing me from my joy. Oh, that's not really the reason why I'm unthankful. That's not the reason why I don't have any joy in my life or joy in my heart. But we miss it because they're subtle. And because they're subtle, often we hear good men, we even hear good people and good Christians that will say, well, I'm just unhappy because of my circumstances, or I'm unhappy because of a person or because something that happened to me. Those things will not take our joy away unless we allow it to. Even in John chapter 16, 22, it says, and your joy no man taketh from you. The real reason why our joy is not evident, they go a little bit deeper. It lies a little bit deeper in our hearts and lives. Tonight, I'd like to look at, I have probably 8 or 9 of them. I'm probably going to shoot to go through 5 of them. And with the 5, we'll probably have to move pretty quickly. But at the same time, number 1 is probably the one that will take the longest. So what is it that kills our joy or steals our joy or robs our joy? There was a number of different messages, different titles we could have had it. What is it that robs or steals or kills our joy in the day and time we live in? Why do we not have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and the joy of the Lord in our life? Remember, the angel says it's good tidings of great joy. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be. And we see that sometimes in a child's life. They're excited about Christmas. They're pumped. They haven't let things bring them down. They're excited about all the things that associate with Christmas. But many times with a believer or an adult, it's like, oh, I guess got to go through this again. I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to have to deal with my family again. I don't want to have to deal with gifts again. I don't want to deal with a calendar that's so filled day after day. And there's just no joy that's missing. So what is something that steals your joy? And the first thing, and I think this may be the most important because they all tie together after this one thing, is not taking time for the most important things. Not taking time for the most important things. Say, well, what's the most important thing? Well, we've been learning about it during the month of December. It's praising the Lord. It ties into, as you praise the Lord, is spending time with him. Taking time for your personal walk with the Lord. Taking time for your private time with the Lord. And some people don't connect those dots. Some people say, well, I'm upset and I'm happy because I'm unhappy and I'm miserable because this circumstance, this person, this obligation, and this schedule, and they start bringing things. But the reality is, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, and if we can, in our own heart and our life, love the Lord, the Lord's our source of joy. That no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what we're going through, we can have our source of joy, and that's the Lord. And when we neglect our private time, when we neglect our walk with the Lord, that joy that's there, that joy that sustains us, that joy that gives us the ability to deal with that person and that situation and that schedule and that dilemma and the craziness of the world, all those things become so destructive in our life when we don't take time to see who God is. We must learn to take time. Nehemiah 8:10, neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Too often when we don't draw from God's word what we should, we can't rejoice in the Lord. And when we can't rejoice in the Lord, we stop considering how good is and God is. We stop lifting him up and we stop praising him. And when we stop having our focus on him, you know what our focus becomes on? That person, that situation, that schedule, that difficulty. And when we focus on that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be miserable. Because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So I want you to think a little bit with me about neglecting your private time. That connects the dots. We have if we don't praise the Lord, we don't get in the right focus. We don't have the right mindset. When you're in a high-pressure situation or a season of life, like Christmas times many times is, we need our devotional time with the Lord. We need time with the Lord even more. Do not let busyness and do not let deadlines keep you from the thing that should be most important in your life, your time with the Lord. Private time with God allows you to have your hearts revived. Taking time daily and burdening your hearts about that person and about that situation, about that dilemma, about that difficulty, and we unburden it and we give it to the Lord, and he becomes our burden bearer for us so we can continue to have the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let not your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, wonderful passages of scripture. Paul's writing that from the prison cell. Paul's trying to help the church of Philippi. And he says, look, don't be anxious or worry. Be careful for nothing. He says, just give it all over to the Lord. And then the peace of God will come. But we don't have joy many times because we don't have the peace of God because we're so overwhelmed with the person and the situation and the agenda and the difficulty and the dilemma. We're worried about the schedules and worried about everything else. The joy is gone. We get up super early and we work, many of us work a long period of time and our schedule is so busy. We have no idea where we can take out, but there's no joy because we haven't taken and spent quality time alone with the Lord. Think about it. Jesus was a busy guy. You think about sometimes those days, you look at it in early morning till late night, and what did he always take time to do? He took time to pray. So Jesus was never too busy to pray. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. What we often have in our public life in order, we often have our public life in order because we don't want anybody to think that we're falling apart. Even though they see it on our hearts and they see it in our minds, they see that we're overwhelmed, they see that we're unhappy, they see that there's no joy in our heart, but we have to make sure all our ducks in a row and everything's just right. And I'm not saying we shouldn't want to get everything done and have everything done right, but if it takes place of our private time with the Lord, there's going to be something missing. Jesus was never too busy, never too busy to pray. And even though we have our public life in order and we would not want to miss a meeting or miss an appointment or miss a special day or miss a special event, we must put the priority of that God, we need to spend time with him. If Jesus took the time to pray, I think we should too. And even with that prayer time, we should be praying faithfully and consistently. It says in John 16:24, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. There's a connection there. Praying to the Lord, giving it over to the Lord, realizing God's going to take care of you and give you exactly what you need. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Another thing that connects with it, making the priority. You say, Pastor, I get tired of it because sometimes when I pray, it feel like I'm hitting the ceiling. Jesus was never too busy to wait on God. Now, once again, he is God. Jesus is God that came in the flesh, but he was always doing the Father's will. And you think about it. Sometimes you don't understand, Pastor. It is Christmas. I got to get this done. This meal has to be done. This needs to happen, and this needs to happen. Your schedules, I'm sure, are crazy. And I would say my schedule is kind of crazy when it comes to certain things. But if we don't take time to wait on the Lord, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He was always patient. He was never in a hurry to worry about things, be anxious. What does the Bible say? But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. If we learn to renew and wait on the Lord, he's going to renew our strength. To the point that no longer are we going to have to even worry about walking. We're going to be able to run. God's going to accomplish so much when we wait on his timing. So when we consider what's going on, considering your word, what is happening, what's most important in your life? What are the things that are that matter to you? Do you take time to pray? Do you take time to wait on the Lord? And another important thing, and once again, I think the private time does this, but God in his private time will encourage your hearts. Jesus was never too busy for sinners either. It's interesting to think about this, that Jesus took time for others. When we're in the store, what are we normally doing? We're busy, right? We got other things we're focused on. Some people probably just focus on, you know, other things in their hearts and mind right now. But when you're in the store, many times what I'm doing is I'm on the phone talking about, hey, this is what I'm going to do next. Sorry, I'm going to be late for this or that. And there's people all around me that can minister to. But we don't. Why is that? Because we don't take time for sinners. Many of us. So what robs us from our joy is that when we don't take time with the Lord, and it can't be just about doing it either. It's got to be being it. It can't be just, okay, I got this three chapters, I got this prayer list that I can just read. I had a gentleman that was honest. He's no longer part of our church. He went home to be with the Lord, and he says, my prayer list is just, I don't get it. He says, I fall asleep while I'm praying, and he gets this. And so I try to give him some things to help him, encourage him, but it can't be just a routine. It's having a relationship. It's talking with someone. It's growing closer to them. It's surrendering to yourself. He took time for sinners. When we're around other people, we're always, I got to focus. I got to go here. I got to go to this and all these other things. But the reality is we just don't take time. And so the first thing I want you to think about is the reasons why we lose our joy is not taking time for the most important things. When we don't take time for the most important things, it will steal our joy away. We will, instead of focusing on what we should be focusing on, the needs of others, the Lord, praying, waiting on the Lord to do whatever he wants to do. You know what we do? We focus on all those other things and we're miserable. And we show the world that we're miserable. Second thing is that something else that robs your joy, and I think personally they kind of all tie in together, is when we take our focus off the Lord, is there's an unthankful spirit that happens. The longer that I live, it seems like the sins of ingratitude is ingrained into our communities and ingrained into our hearts, ingrained into our churches many times. He's like, well, I'm thankful. And we say that. Hey, I'm thankful. When's the last time you thanked the Lord? When's the last time you shared with somebody else something you're thankful for? And it's a challenge because we're busy. Pastor, you don't understand. I got this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do. I understand all that. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we don't take time to spend with him and grow closer, but as we go closer to him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be thankful for him. God daily loads us with benefits, but our tendency is to look past the many blessings that we have to focus on the few difficulties we have. We look past all the many blessings, many times the house, the vehicles, the family that's still there with us, even though many homes are broken up, the children, and we look past all the many blessings to that one thing that maybe is broken at the house. Should it get fixed? Of course it should get fixed. But is that going to rob our joy? We're going to be unthankful for all the other things? And it's important. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And he says, Selah. That means, think about that. God daily loads us with benefits, day by day. His mercies, they're fresh and new every morning. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us, many of us, a body that will work and do whatever we need it to. And an unthankful spirit leads to a melancholy spirit. It bends our mind towards introspection. It focuses on our hearts, on our needs, rather than our blessings. It takes our hearts off of, you know, the blessings of God and places it on this situation, this difficulty, these things that, yes, they need to be done, but should they be priority in our life? And when we begin to see that, we become to want material expectations. We begin to be disappointed when we feel like we're robbed. I don't know about you, if you see that sometimes around Christmas time, you have different families that are there and you give something to a child and you would think that they're going to be excited about it, but they get disappointed because it's not what they wanted, or somebody else wanted this or somebody else wanted that. And the covetousness that happens, and it makes you sick sometimes because you're just thinking, shouldn't you be thankful for what you have? And we look at children and say, shouldn't you be thankful for what you have? And then God would sometimes look at us and say, shouldn't you be thankful for what you have? And we instead, no, you don't understand, Pastor, that this is something I'm entitled to. We get this spirit of discontentment. We get this spirit of entitlement. Instead of being thankful for where we're at, we have an unthankful spirit, and it robs our joy. It steals away our joy because we haven't taken time with the Lord to rest in Him and wait on Him and pray to Him and be a blessing to others. Instead, it becomes about us and our material expectations. This is what it has to be. And then our hearts become to the spot that I have to have this or I'm not going to be content. And Paul in Philippians chapter 4 is there. He's sitting in a jail cell and he's telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. And if we would grow in our grace, we would understand like Paul did in his contentment. He's like, look, if I have a lot, I'm happy. If I have little, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. And he even got excited about that church when they gave him a gift. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Paul got that. He didn't have an unthankful spirit. And so often I think that's what we have is, we become so critical. We come to the point that we just are not thankful for what God's given us. And we start looking, I have to have that. There's an entitlement that's there. And we live in a day and time where people still often feel entitlement. Joy is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And we must guard this joy. Satan will try to steal our joy. Don't let him do that. Don't let him with an unthankful heart steal and rob your joy away. Spend time with the Lord and be thankful and bless his name. So there's another dangerous thing that happens. I think it kind of boils down, especially connects the next one. When we become unthankful, we begin to dream outside of God's plan for our life. So what do you mean? Well, you think about it. If I'm not spending time with the Lord and I'm just growing close to Him, I see Him working in my heart, I see Him working in my life, then I become unthankful because the things I have, I think I deserve more, I want more. So when I see what I don't have and I feel like I'm entitled, I begin to dream, I begin to consider, I begin to want those things outside of God's will. Well, I begin to want those things that I think I should have. And we begin to think about, oh, well, maybe if God gave me this or God did this. And we begin to really desire the things that God has no intention for us to have. When we become unthankful for what God has given us, and we begin to expect material blessings that God has never intended for us, we begin to dream outside of God's will. When our spirits become burdened with difficulties of life because we've neglected to thank God for the blessings, you know what happens? The grass begins to look greener on the other side. We begin to say, well, I haven't spent time with the Lord, and I become unthankful maybe for my wife, maybe for my job, maybe for my church, maybe for my friends. And I begin looking over there and say, oh, that must be what God wants for me. And they begin thinking that, hey, and they step outside of God's will. I mean, how many times have we heard stories about husbands and wives that became unthankful for one another and they stopped spending time with the Lord? And because of that, they began looking around. And when they began looking around, they saw someone else that seemed like they were better for them, and that this is how I feel and this is my desire and this is what God. I've had people tell me it's God's will that I cheat on my mate. It's God's will that I divorce this person and marry that person. And they look at that and they use those things that even while they're inside the relationship, inside the marriage, and it's because of the fact they begin to dream outside of what God intends for them. Now, this can be tricky because it's easy to look over the fence and say, that must be God's will. But the problem is we're not joyful and we're not thankful because our focus is on this person, this difficulty, this dilemma, this, that, and these different things, this schedule. We don't take time with the Lord. We become unthankful before all the things that He's given us and all the things He's done for us, that we begin thinking, what if? But in our mind, out of the thoughts of what if, it's hard to be joyful for the things you have. If all you're doing is saying, well, what if God did this and what if God did that? And I'm not talking about dreaming spiritually about how God can use you. I'm talking about what if God gave me $1 million or what if God did this? And you know, we talk about physical things that we forget the daily benefits that he loads upon us and how good he's been to us and how thankful we should be and how grateful we should be. We become unthankful and we begin thinking, well, maybe this is what God wants. And often in our struggles and our relationships and struggles inside our marriage, it prompts us to dream things that are not proper. And what do? You renew yourself with the word of God. Romans 12:2, it talks about that, right? It says, be not conformed to this world. And you renew your mind. So remember, go back to that verse that we first looked at. It says it right there in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. I'm not going to let all these other things move me. When we renew our minds and renew our hearts with God's word, we give thanks for the blessings. You know what happens? Our focus is on the blessings. We finish your course. And not only do we finish your course with joy. But the reason why our joy is robbed away from us and the reason why it seems like so many believers are miserable today is because of the fact that they haven't taken time for the highest priority. And they become unthankful and they begin dreaming outside of what God wants them to do. And the next thing, and once again, it kind of ties all together. And I've seen it happen in some people's lives is they begin comparing themselves to other people. They begin looking and saying, oh, no, look at that person over there and that person over there. And what they compare themselves. This is dangerous. When we're unthankful, we begin to dream outside of God's will. We begin to compare ourselves with others. And this is very dangerous. How is that dangerous? As you turn around and say, well, if my wife did that, or if my husband did that, or if my children and this and that, and I've had people come up to me and say different things like that. And I tell them this verse. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. This comes in so many different forms and so many different shades that sometimes we fail to see it for what it is. We might be looking at someone else's lighter workload. We might be looking at someone else's marriage or someone else's family or what we consider a less pressure or considering somebody else's gifts, whether physically or spiritually gifts. And we turn around and we compare, why can't I be like that? And why can't I be like that person? And we've lost it because we've stopped spending time with the Lord and thankful for everything he's given us. We become unthankful. We begin thinking outside of God's will and outside of God's purpose. And outside of God's purpose, I can say, why can't I be like that person? Or why can't my wife be like that person? Or why can't my children be like that person? Or why can't my church be like that church? And we begin comparing ourselves and we begin, what is it? It's very dangerous. In the book of Galatians, it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. God's given us all different gifts, all different abilities, all different opportunities, all different things that he has designed and make us, but we must learn to surrender. He gave some of us some wonderful opportunities where he hasn't given other people the same opportunities. He's blessed some people with much, and he's blessed other people with not as much. He's blessed some with a great ability to do certain gifts. And we shouldn't compare and say, well, if I can't have that. Over the years, in the last 20 years, I've heard interesting stories and people say different things. People that no longer are part of our church moved and different things like that. I had one person tell me that said, I wish I was your wife because of all the responsibilities. They wanted more responsibilities, and they thought my wife's life was a blessing because she got to be in charge of this and in charge of that and in charge of this. It looked like she had lots of things to do, and she and this lady had a wrong attitude. And when it came to it, and she said, I wish I had all the things that, I wish I was the pastor's wife so I could get involved in all these different things. And what the person wanted to do was be in charge of the different things but didn't want to do the work that came along with it. And I looked at her. I says you got some serious issues there. I says you should be happy and thankful where the Lord put you. And if you want more, pray and let God lead you. And it says because she was interested in doing, I'll do it. And they wanted to do it, but they wanted to do it not under the pastor's leadership. They wanted to do it their own way, and they just wanted to recruit other people to tell other people what to do. And one first thing you learn as a servant is, as a person in charge, you never get to pick for yourself. You choose what the Lord wants, what the Lord's best is. And if that Lord's best oftentimes is commending others above yourself. And it's a challenge because other people said, no, you get to be. And so that lady told me that I had some people sit over there out in the lobby over there, or somebody else, once again, no longer part of our church, tell me, he says, well, your children are different. My children were like your children. And they had some wonderful children, too. And I says, no, you missed the whole point here. My children are no perfect, but you can't compare the one to another. The different ways, the talents, the abilities, the opportunities, all those different things that are there. And it's because there was something that lacked there that they began dreaming. Oh, if I could be a pastor's wife, or oh, if I could have this, or if I could have that. And they, you know, if my wife would just do these things, or if my husband would just have these gifts, and everything would be great and right. It robs you of your joy because you're missing exactly what you have. And the one lady had a lot of different opportunities to serve at the church. And the one family had a lot of wonderful, they had wonderful children that were there that had such huge blessings. And I'm thinking, you're missing what's right in front of you. You're forgetting the blessings that God has provided you. And because they began to compare one to another, and sometimes preachers can do that. It's a challenge, you know, because I've told you before, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the most dynamic speaker in the world, all those things. I could sit around and look at every other preacher in the world and say, hey, that's somebody I want to be like. I can mimic their styles, but I wouldn't be doing what God wanted me to do. That would you should be exactly what the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes people look at different preachers and say, well, I think he should do this, and I think he should do that. I think he should get on his face and seek the Lord and let the Lord lead and guide him and not listen to what everybody else says. And it's a challenge because if I begin comparing my ministry to somebody else's ministry, I don't know what they're going through, the heartaches that they go through and the hardships that they go through and all those other things they deal with. I'm thankful that I don't have to do that. They may look at our ministry and say, well, they got this wonderful property and they got this and they got that. It comes with challenges. That's why we learn to be thankful and we spend time with God and realize how amazing God is, the blessings that God's given us. And when we focus on him, we stop focusing on all the circumstances and all the people, because that cannot steal your joy away. It's only when you allow it to. It's God. We find our joy of the Lord is our strength. We find our joy in knowing God. But oftentimes when we focus on other things besides God, we become unthankful. And when we become unthankful, many times we begin dreaming outside of God's will. And then we compare ourselves to others. Don't let that steal your joy. Don't, like I said, sometimes I've seen people at Christmas time, they turn around and they got this. And they robbed their joy. I've seen back in Sunday school class, when I first started, I would talk to people about Christmas. And sometimes the young people would go and tell me what they got. And they would be super excited about something they received until they heard what somebody else got. And they're like, I didn't get that. And it's amazing that how sometimes we let that rob our joy, steal our joy, because we compare ourselves to others. Then we come to the next spot. And that, once again, it kind of boils it all down together. It's impure thoughts. We began thinking the wrong things. When we begin dreaming about things that's outside of God's will, and we begin comparing ourselves, we begin to let things enter into our mind. One of the greatest battlefields, if not the greatest battlefield, is our thought lives. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know what some people are saying, Pastor, it can't be the fact that I don't have any joy in my life because I don't spend time with God. It can be. Because you must learn to cast down those imaginations. If you don't spend time praising the Lord, you're never going to be able to cast down those imaginations. Anything that exalteth itself up against the knowledge of God, anything that God says, then you're not going to be able to know what God says until you get into his words. And then you become that unthankful person, and you must deal with those thoughts. I don't want to be unthankful. I don't want to dream what it would be like out of God's will. I don't want to be comparing myself to what I think everybody else has, because we live in that selfie world, or that filter generation, that everybody looks like everything is perfect and great online, but then young people are killing themselves and committing suicide at such a horrible rate. And you think about even in Hollywood, all the beautiful people, quote, of the world, they're overdosing. They're doing all those things. But on the outside, people would look at them and say, I want to be just like them, even though they've been through four or five marriages and they've shacked up with a bunch of people. No. We miss the joy because we begin to compare. We begin to look, and we must deal with those impure thoughts. Unthankful thinking takes a place when we begin to dream outside of God's will and we begin to compare ourselves with others. We must learn to deal with these ungodly thoughts. We must not just remember that they will rob us of our joy, but there are other things that will rob us of our joy. We're not right with the Lord. We lower ourselves down, our strengths down, and the devil has a heyday. The world's being brainwashed many times. And you think about it, impure thoughts, when the first thing comes to our mind is lustful thoughts, at least for men many times. He's talking about lustful thoughts. And yes, that is true. But I'm talking about these other things that you must learn to fight against, because just because you're a little bit grumpy or unthankful about something, that doesn't mean I don't have joy. Or just because I compare myself to others means I don't have joy. You're not connecting the dots. The dots would tell you if you don't have that right relationship and that growing dynamic relationship with the Lord, you are going to be a person that's missing the joy, because joy is produced supernaturally through the Holy Spirit of God. And there are people today that are under the bondage of sin, and they're under the bondage many times. Many men and women today, if you read statistics, they're crazy about how many people live in the bondage of pornography. It's a dangerous, ugly thing. And it's a tragic thing. And it's something that we must deal with. These are thoughts that we would turn around. A born-again Christian cannot have impure thoughts day after day without experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And no one who is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit can truly have joy in their life. We like to put a smile on our face and walk through and say, everything's great, everything's fine. But deep down inside, you know there's a sin. There's something in your heart. There's something in your life that you just don't want to get right. And you know that God is taking you to the woodshed, and God is continually coming and trying to, and you quench him and you quench him and you quench him. And there's no joy because the impure thoughts, they could be lustful. Yes, they could be things that many times men deal with, that lustful thought with ladies sometimes. Yes, also about the same things, but the covetousness and the comparing one another. Who is truly happy? It's the people who see God working. So who is the people that see God working? We learned this in our Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So it brings us back to what? Our source of joy, God himself. How often have we pictured, and I'm a guy that enjoys doing things at Christmas time, enjoys gifts, enjoys making things special for others. That's just something I enjoy giving. The Bible talks about it's more blessed to give than receive. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy receiving stuff, but I enjoy giving. And many times with our children, we took trips, family, as a family gift, we would take a trip to one place or another just to try to create memories instead of, because there's many people who have been kind to them over the years. They've given them a bunch of different things to where the things weren't really things as much important to us as making memories. And we would design things out for them. If things didn't work out right, you know what happened? There would be no joy. No, our joy doesn't depend on things working out right. Our joy depends on the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, God himself. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At that right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When we live in the presence of God, I mean consciously live in the presence of God, and we spend our time with him, we're not going to be unthankful because he's given us so much, and we're not going to be comparing ourselves one to another because God's already been so good to me, and I'm not going to be dreaming outside of God's will because I know what God wants is best for me, and I need to live in his presence. I need to fear the Lord because that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where joy comes from. You said, Pastor, fear and joy? Yes. When you see God for who he is, there's a joy that he produces in our life. It is amazing to me how the things that give God the most glory are the things we find our greatest joy out of. The things that God gives God the most glory are the things that we get the greatest joy. These people are miserable today. And I'm not talking about being a guy that smiles all the time and being all happy-go-lucky and being thrilled about it. We have different personalities. We have different temperaments. I understand that. But the joy of the Lord should come out. We should talk about our Lord. We should talk about our God. If we let the great burdens of our life kill our joy often flourishes when there's a burden. What do you mean? Well, somebody says, well, it's the issue, it's the problem. If you allow that issue and problem take you to God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find joy in the fact that God's going to take care of you. When have we drawn the closest to God? When is it that we feel closer to God than any other time, or we feel like we have to pursue him? Is when there is a problem, when there's an issue, when there's tragedy in our life, we go to him, and that's where we find our joy from, and that's where we find our strength from. And what kills our joy are the subtle temptations that draw us away from walking in his presence. Oh, that's okay. Just don't be thankful for a bit of that, and you're leaving the presence of God. Don't worry about thinking about those impure thoughts. It's not a big deal. No, you're not hurting anybody. What's the big deal about dreaming what it would be like to be something that God doesn't want you to be? What's the big deal about comparing your life with so and so's life? There's danger. That's why he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Spend time with him. So as I encourage you, because we'll probably pick up this next Wednesday night and go over the next, and who knows, the list might even add or grow a little bit there. Things to stay. This week, spend some time with people. Watch people. See people. And you're going to find some that have great joy in their hearts and their lives. And you're going to find many that are miserable. Don't be the miserable ones. You're a billboard for Jesus Christ. Some people will never ever read the Bible. Some people will never ever read a tract, but they will read your life. And they're not getting that. People know when people are fakes. When you spend time with them for just a minute or two, yes, you might be able to pull something off. You spend time with someone for a period of time, they're going to know if you're sincere. They're going to know if you love them. They're going to know that if you actually know what you're talking about. They, like I said, I keep on telling people they need to read the Bible. They need to read the Bible, and they just won't. They need to read a tract. They need to read a tract. Show them something that they're missing in your life. Show them the love of Christ in your heart. Show them the joy of Christ. Show them the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when all we do is ever complain about God, or complain about our situations or circumstances, or we complain about our church, or we complain about the people in our church, and we wonder why nobody wants to come to church. Or we complain about our families, and we make fun of our husbands or our wives, and then we say, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, the bed is undefiled in marriage, and, you know, you can have the great Christian life and you have great Christian marriage, but you trash them sometimes. You mock them. No. Where is the joy of the Lord? Is it missing in our lives? So like I said, this year we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And the angel says, good tidings of great joy. The time that should be one of the most happy and joyful times. God became man. And we celebrate that. Sort of like Thanksgiving. You know, they stole away that thankfulness, didn't they, with that Black Friday? You know, you say, oh, yeah, the most thankful day of the year. And don't get me wrong, I like a good deal. I'll go do Black Friday. But the people out there at Black Friday, the one thing that they are not is they're not thankful many times. You mean there's no more of this left? And the you see people grabbing and have fights and this and that. And once again, I can have some joy in going, standing in a line at 3 o'clock in the morning when it's freezing cold outside if you get a $5 gift card. Well, maybe not that, but something like that. You know, I wouldn't do that for a $5 gift card, but you can do things, but they've robbed that. They stole away that thankfulness. And in our lives today, are we really, truly joyful people? It will show up. It will show up in our hearts. It will show up in our lives. It will show up in the way we act. It will show up in the way we deal with others. It will show up. But so often, all we focus on is this problem, this person, this dilemma, this agenda, this schedule, this pastor, I got all these things. That can't be our focus. He must be our focus. Meditate in his word day and night. The blessed man, remember, blessed is man that we talked at that Sunday night a little bit. You know, there are people that we're supposed to listen to, it's people we're not supposed to listen to. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight's where? In the law of the Lord. And if all does he meditate day and night. That's what he's saying. When we focus on this, it robs our joy. I think there's a preacher out there that I forget which one, but he says there's people around that try to suck out your joy. They're like a vacuum cleaner. You get near them, they take away your joy. It just takes it away. Let's not be said about us. Now, yes, there's problems. Yes, there's issues. Yes, there's discouraging times. There's discouraging moments. We deal with them. We work with that. Next week's list includes dealing with ruptured relationships, dealing with expectations with our relationships, because that can steal our joy. We can get disappointed in people, and boy, it changes who we are. I know some people that one thing bad happens to them, it sends them right into a tailspin. And some of us struggle with that. And that's something we need to make sure. I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my joy. I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord to be demonstrated and shown in my life. That way, people that I see and people that I know, they're going to know that I love the Lord. Not just because I tell them that. Not just because I'm dependable and I do this and I do this and I do this. It's because the joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord shows up in my life. They're going to see that I love God because it's going to come out naturally. Oftentimes people tell me, can you pray for my family? Of course we can. Can you go out and be a witness to my family? Of course there are things we should want to do. But one of the greatest witnesses we can be is a joyful, loving Christian. Not the one who's completely surrendered to God. That will change a person's life. They're not going to read that Bible, no matter if you gave them the nicest King James Bible you could get, the fanciest track you have. They've seen them all before. They've done it all before. But when they see a change in your life, there's something that they're going to say, that's something I want. When they see that there's no joy and there's no love and there's no fruits of the Spirit coming out, they're going to be like, that person's just as miserable as I am. Why do I need what they have? And when we show them joy, it can make a difference. Let's pray.